editor at Tech Target for searchdatamanagement.co.uk, and I'm here today with Andy Haler. Hello, Andy.
Hi there, Brian.
Andy's the CEO and co-founder of analyst firm The Information Difference. Now, his firm has teamed up with the Data Governance Institute to find out what is the real state of play among companies with respect to data governance. So, Andy, first of all, tell me, what is data governance?
Well, the Data Governance Institute defines data governance as the exercise of decision-making and authority for data-related matters, which perhaps is a bit of a mouthful, but essentially it's the process around managing shared data. It would be the simple version. Whereas there is technology around sort of master data management for starting to try to manage shared data from a technical viewpoint, data governance is really the soft side of that. It's the people side, the sort of the business, you know, business ownership side of things. Who owns the data? If there is a dispute about the structure of data or the quality of data, you know, who's responsible for fixing it? And that's really the heart of data governance.
And how does it relate to master data management?
Well, essentially, master data management is the management of shared data, yeah. And people usually think of that more of as a technology. So there are quite a few master data management products out there, and those technologies, often work very well. But in the absence of the business ownership of data, master data management, you know, can struggle, because the very definition of master data, so things like customers, products, assets, locations, is that they're shared across different computer systems and almost certainly different business lines, different geographies in a company. And so the big issue with master data management is that for any sizable organization, you don't just have one source of customer data or product data, you've probably got several. Our own research a couple of years ago showed that in this particular survey anyway, the average company had 6 different systems generating customer data and 9 different systems generating product data. So clearly you can see that that's more than you really want. And the idea is that master data management, if you put in a product, you think, I've got this nice shiny new master data management hub and I'm going to have one source for my customer data. And that's fine, except what happens to the other 6 existing systems that are already competing with it. Now, how you deal with that essentially is not purely a technical issue. It's going to involve getting people to change the way they're doing things, and consequently then that's where data governance steps in, because that's really the soft side of master data management. It's the process side. It's putting names and ownership to the problem. So essentially the relationship would be that data governance is something that would be usually a precursor to a master data management exercise. The scope of it is perhaps a little broader than purely master data, but let's just assume for the moment they're the same. Whereas master data management would be the more applying the technologies out there, but using the structures and processes that are being put in place by a data governance program.
Could you do master data management without a good data governance program?
You can, and plenty of companies do. Problem is, they don't end very well. So the issue is that the very definition of master data is it's shared across business lines. So what you are going to get is disputes about ownership of data, who owns the international product code hierarchy. There are, as we said, 9 different systems on average in a company that think that they own product data, and like the old Dire Straits song, two men say they're Jesus, one of them must be wrong. Well, in this case, at least 8 of those other systems are wrong. And what you find is that the reality, if you get people in a room and talk about data governance and master data, you'll find that everyone is extremely happy with the idea of standardizing on a single definition of data, provided the definition is theirs. What they're not so good at is standardizing on someone else's definition. And so in reality, you get these disputes. And basically, master data management projects, if they're run from the IT department, are the IT department typically in a company doesn't have the authority to tell the business to change what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's the key. So why, you know, the business have to sort of step up to the plate here and actually to, you know, take ownership and decide, okay, like Fred over there is in charge of customer and Sue over there is in charge of product. And that's just the way it is. And if there is an argument, and there will be arguments about, you know, the way that this should be organized or the quality of the data around the organization, then it's Fred and Sue who ultimately are going to be responsible for making that happen. So, yeah, so essentially, if you put a master data management sort of technology in without the supporting processes of data governance, you're basically, you know, asking for a bit of a kicking, really.
So in terms of what's actually going on in companies, I know you've done this data governance survey and been engaged with that for the past 6 months or so, if I'm correct. Tell me about the origins and the rationale of that survey. I mean, why have you done it?
Sure. Well, we've certainly been, you know, hearing from clients for some time about the who are running data governance programs, that they would like to know, you know, how, if they're doing it well, essentially. Typically, data governance programs are quite chunky things. You know, there's one company we've been working with who've got, you know, 27 full-time people working on data governance, big investment. But then, not surprisingly, in sort of times of, you know, recession, people are sort of asking, well, you know, is that, you know, are we getting a good return from that investment of 27 people? And the difficulty that this company and several others we spoke to are having is that essentially they don't know because they have, you know, perhaps, you know, limited internal mechanisms for sort of checking, you know, on progress, and that they can do some work internally. But they would also really like to have some sort of external benchmark to say, well, how do we actually sort of, you know, rank against other companies who are also doing similar programs? And we certainly did some research and discovered there was, you know, nothing essentially in this area. And we talked to the Data Governance Institute, who clearly have got a very broad base of customers, and they also, you know, agreed that there was nothing in this area. There have been, you know, the old study before, but there's nothing with really hard data. And so we basically decided that it would be a good idea to sort of get together and try to remedy this situation and to put in place a benchmarking study. And that's basically what we've been doing. Now, essentially, the way we did that was we drew on the a framework which the Data Governance Institute had developed, which was a good outline framework. We actually took that further, you know, working with them to a lower level of granularity, if you like, a lower level of detail, and then we validated that framework with a panel of multinational companies who were well established in data governance. So companies who, you know, won awards for data governance that had programs running for some time. We established a little panel of those guys. We took the framework, we ran it around these companies and said, well, what do you think? You know, and they came back and, you know, they had some comments, this isn't quite right here, and tweak this here and add this there. So we went through a few iterations of it. But at the end of it, we had a framework that we felt was, you know, not just another bunch of PowerPoint slides, but something which had actually been, you know, then validated by some of the most sort of developed companies and organizations around the world in terms of data governance. And that's the framework we started with. And the idea was that we would then create a very detailed survey for participating companies to basically measure themselves against that framework. So the idea was, if you were a participating company, you would take this sort of giant survey, essentially, and collect and send back to us all the data around these various different areas and sub-areas about the governance, you know, how you were organized, what it was costing you, how successful was it, you know, how good were your procedures and processes in a whole range of different areas. And we sort of knew that this was going to be quite a lot of work. This wasn't like a little, you know, 10-question survey. This was a pretty meaty thing. And certainly one of the organizations who did the sort of beta testing with us was the British Army. And they reckon it took them about 2 days' effort to gather the data.
Uh-huh.
So this is a lot more effort, therefore, than it's, you know, than a sort of standard survey. And with that in mind, we we actually thought that we targeted getting 25 companies involved, because we thought at that level of effort, not that many companies are going to be, going to be up for it, really. And in fact, when we did the survey, we were actually very pleased, because we ended up with 134 companies participating. It was a great deal more than we anticipated. But the good thing is that's created an enormous wealth of data for us to analyse. So we've been, and that's what we've been doing basically for some time now.
So an enormous wealth of data. Unfair question, Andy, but what would you say were the most important findings?
Sure. Well, I think the great thing that we found was that the sample size, 134 companies, with lots and lots of questions each, sample size meant that we were able to do some proper statistical analysis in the way that we wouldn't have been able to do with, say, sort of 20 companies participating. And so one of the things that we were able to do was actually ask companies, one of the first questions we asked was, how successful is your data governance program been in your own minds, your own measures, and give them a range from very successful to pretty unsuccessful and somewhere in between. And what we were then able to do, because we had enough data points, is we were able to then do proper correlation analysis between these success factors and what companies were actually doing. So in other words, what were the various behaviours that the companies were actually carrying out that had succeeded? And also, which were the behaviours that companies were doing who had failed, by their own admission. Mm-hmm. And we could rather than just being a sort of opinion of saying, I guess it would be nice if you did such and such, what we could say at the end of this study was we can say that with statistical certainty, these are the things which you will, if you do these things, there's a high correlation with a successful data governance program. And also, if you really want to mess it up, if you do the following things, we can tell you with a high degree of probability that your governance program will fail. Hmm. So this is, I think, probably the thing that we were really particularly most sort of pleased about. We've got a whole wealth of material, but the fact that we could come out for the first time sort of ever with statistically valid behaviours of what constitutes a good and a bad data governance program, I think that was to me the greatest sort of finding of the survey. There's lots and lots and lots of specific findings that we can talk about, but that was what I was particularly pleased at, because it was something which we didn't at the beginning know that we were going to be able to get.
So typically, what would a good one look like?
Well, it's about 10 sort of areas which seem to be well correlated with the companies who have successful programs, and also actually a whole bunch of behaviours which are well correlated with failure. And some of these, they may sound kind of relatively motherhood and apple pie, but the point is that they're actually what work. So, for example, successful data governance programs have a written mission statement and some written statement of success. They have put in place a clear and documented process for resolving disputes between organisations. Mm-hmm. They've got good policies for controlling access to business data. They have an active risk register. They've defined good logical models, data models essentially, for their key business data. They've documented their business processes. And this is a key point, they undertake regular data quality assessments. Mm-hmm. And they've built a business case for data governance, so it's something which is a documented firm business case. When they've done that, put it in place, what they've also done is they've looked at the people involved with this, and they've actually put the success of this program into people's personal objectives, and they've put in place training and communication around their data governance program. And essentially, if you do those things, then according to this this study, there is an excellent chance that your data governance program will go well. On the other hand, you can take a different approach and have an extremely high probability of failure.
European companies, Andy, from what I've seen of the surveys, seem to be leading the way both on personal data handling and on data governance policy. I mean, would that be a fair thing to say? Does that chime with your experience?
Yeah, I think it's a little hard to generalise. There are clearly some companies in Europe who are making a complete mess of things, and clearly some companies in America doing a very fine job. But I think as a general rule, that's probably not an unreasonable assertion. And I think partly it's that European companies tend, as a general rule, to be slightly less centralized than American organizations, in my experience. And so they're sort of it's more immediately obvious to them that they have to deal with, you know, multiple countries, you know, particularly, and have to sort of, you know, put in place structures to deal with standardization across multiple countries and multiple cultures. Mm-hmm. In a way that US companies, you know, are often, well, not always, but are often highly centralized. Certainly ones, you know, I used to work for Exxon and also for Shell. You know, Shell was, you know, very decentralized in its structures. Exxon was sort of uber centralized. And you know, these both got pros and cons, but essentially I think the European companies are probably more used to the idea of having to resolve inconsistency, whereas the American companies, who are very centralized, tend to just assume that they can just take a big stick out and beat people into shape and to follow standards because they issue an edict. And in reality, that doesn't, you know, frankly happen. Yeah. So I think that's probably the difference between the two. As a very, you know, broad statement, like I say, there are exceptions on either side, but as a broad rule, I think that's probably a fair comment.
Andy, were there any other findings from the survey that actually caused you dismay?
Yeah, there's a few pretty entertaining ones. As many as a third of companies don't appear to really have documented their business processes. I was particularly surprised that only, well, perhaps surprise isn't the word, but disappointed that only 9% of companies enforce business rules in the source systems. So if they've got sort of rules about data at all, only, which is in itself a sort of a, you know, impressive, only 9% actually enforce those rules in the underlying systems. That's not good. Only 1 in 5 companies undertake data quality audits at all, and that is not good. So in other words, you know, sort of 79% of companies there just, you know, don't know what a data quality audit is, and therefore, you, when you think about it, these companies are all happily signing off their compliance forms. It does kind of trouble you. And the final thing that, I mean, there's plenty more, but I'll just draw out one which has particularly surprised me, which was the level of understanding about risk, where we ask this question about do you have, and how effective is a business risk register, and bear in mind these 134 companies, so these are not small companies typically. Mm. These are, you know, to a large extent, you know, $1 billion plus companies. 58% reckon they didn't have a business risk register at all, and only 6% felt that if they did have a register, that it was really effective. 6% reckon they have an effective business risk register. Now, bear in mind that this survey included a significant chunk of companies in things like banking, and it doesn't really, you know, and this was late 2010. It doesn't bode particularly well.
That's astonishing. On the other side of things, though, did you discover things which were surprising in a good way, pleasantly surprising?
That's a little bit harder. What is clear is that there is a chunk of companies, and it's maybe about a third of the ones in the survey, you know, who are clearly doing a good job, and this sort of comes consistently through the material, where companies have, you know, the 1/5 of companies who have undertaken regular data quality audits and have, you know, built a business case of the programs. I mean, one of the finest examples is the average, you know, sort of cost of setting up a program is about $3.5 million. with ongoing maintenance of over $1 million a year. So these are not sort of trivial efforts and programs, and some, indeed, in some cases, they're much, much higher than that. So at least those companies, at least about a third of those companies have at least, you know, built a proper business case and, you know, frankly have found their data governance programs to be successful, to despite investing, you know, a chunk of money like that, you know, it was several millions of dollars. There is this sort of subset of companies who are believing themselves to have a very successful program and in many cases to have documented returns on that investment. The other side of it is that there's an awful lot who haven't.
For those companies who maybe didn't participate in your survey, Andy, what would be your kind of top line advice for companies establishing data governance programs?
Well, I think you can literally just take the findings that we went through earlier and say, if you do these things, then there's a high chance you'll have a successful data governance program. You know, the things that we discussed earlier. So, you know, building a business case, putting in proper dispute resolution processes, documenting processes and data effectively to, in particular, undertake data quality audits, you know, measure what your data quality is and measure the cost of poor data quality. That can help you build your business case, and then once you put the program in place, you really need to communicate that effectively across the organization. So I think if you do those things, then pretty clearly, you know, you're going to have a lot, much better chance of success than if you don't. And so I think, you know, really just those are the key findings.
Andy, is there anything else you want to put across?
I think one thing I would like to say is that although this survey has been done as a sort of one-off exercise, the database is now built, and if you have a data governance program that's in place, even if it's only been in place for a few months, and you want to measure the success of that program, you can take the survey, and we, you know, if you go to the Information Difference website, there's a link on there to the survey. If you participate in the survey, it will take a little bit of effort. Then we will send you a summary of the results and give you the opportunity to purchase a sort of a much more detailed report, which would actually put you against your peers in this database in all of these 60 odd different categories. So if you want to therefore measure how you're doing, yeah, in your data governance program, yeah, this is, you know, we believe this is by far the best way of doing it, and you can clearly see whether you're, you know, an upper quartile performer or an average performer or not, you know, in these different areas. And more to the point, you can see, you know, because no, you know, very, very few companies are going to be, you know, either perfect or completely dire. Point is that you can see which areas you're doing well in, which areas you're doing not so well in, and the report will help you therefore pinpoint the areas of your program which you can improve upon. And so we think that could be a pretty effective way of actually both measuring your own, you know, sort of return on investment, if you like, but also showing up where there are deficiencies and where there are areas for improvement.
Interesting. Andy Haler from the Information Difference, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Brian.